Psalm 124, and it's page 621.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, and over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth, who has escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Thank you very much, that was brilliant. Hello, my name is Matt Thompson, and I'm one of the associate ministers here at Christchurch, and it's great to add my welcome. It's great to see one or two new faces, and welcome you here as well. We're going to carry on looking through these psalms that we've been looking through over the past few weeks, and today, as we just had read so brilliantly, we're going to be looking at Psalm 124, so do keep it open. If you've already closed your Bibles and it's on page 621, it'd be really helpful to you and to me. If you do have your Bibles in front of you. So let's have a look at it. I don't know about you, but one of my pet hates are those adverts on the TV that are designed specifically to pull on our heartstrings. You know the ones I mean. Usually they're for charities. Mostly they're for animal charities. And they play slightly depressing music, show cute or not so cute images, and then explain how 50p a week can help save Snowy the Mountain Owl. I've noticed this week that even Simon Cowell has got involved. He is the new voiceover man. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to support charities or animals. It is absolutely a good thing. And I know I shouldn't hate these adverts, but they're just so frustrating, aren't they? Mostly because they're by far the longest adverts on the TV, and adverts are all just there to frustrate us as we wait for the football to start again, or our programme to start again, or Hollyoaks to start again. So the longest ones are really bound to frustrate us the most. But there is one heartstring advert that I actually think works really well. It's quite short, which is a bonus. And Jeff is going to play it for us now. So I wonder if we could have the lights turned off and you can watch this one. Thanks very much. Short and sweet, I know, but it's simple yet really effective, isn't it? Showing and celebrating how giving blood has saved real people's lives. Showing the effect of giving blood while also helping us to understand the effects of what not giving blood would be. Basically, all those people on that advert are saying, if it had not been for these men and women, I, my son, or my mother would have died. And that makes it an advert that I think actually all of us can relate to, doesn't it? Those celebrities in the advert could be any one of us. And that makes the emotion, the heartfelt gratitude, very, very real. And as we come today to Psalm 124, then in one sense we're going to be looking in on the Israelites' version of this advert. Now, of course, it's not an advert to boost stocks in Israel's blood banks, but instead, as we'll see, it's a song written to remind and encourage God's people of the importance of having the Lord God on their side. This psalm, Psalm 124, is a retrospective, if it had not been for, song. Look at this one. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. This is David, the psalm writer's retrospective recognition that Israel needed and received God's help. The whole gist of the psalm is really quite simple, isn't it? Just like the advert says, these people gave blood and rescued us from tragedy. Well, the psalm looks back and says that, well, the Lord has stepped in and he's rescued Israel from tragedy. And as we look through it in more detail, we're going to see that David is expressing real, heartfelt emotion as he reminds his reader of what the Lord has done. But it's not just David's response to the rescue that we glimpse in this psalm. Because of the way this psalm was used by the Israelites, we also glimpse some of their emotions. Remember these psalms, called the Psalms of Ascent, were sung as the Israelites travelled from far and wide, often on a perilous journey, to the temple in order to worship God. And they sang this psalm both in praise for the past as they went to worship God for the things that he'd done, but also, I think, to remind one another in the present that they faced a perilous journey as they faced it. Going up to the temple, it was good to be reminded that God was on their side. This psalm is riddled with emotion and a sense of realness. And I think that if we're to understand it properly, then we need to immerse ourselves in its emotion, both in its terror and in its relief. My hope is that by the end of today, whether we're Christians here or not, we'll be able to, as with the giving blood advert, relate personally both to this terror, but more importantly and more excitingly to the relief. And I hope we can do that both in our minds, but also, more importantly again, in our hearts. So let's take a look at it. And the first thing that I want us to see is the extent of the terror. The extent of the terror. The vast bulk of this psalm is all about David painting a picture of what would have happened to the Israelites had God not stepped in to rescue them. He's talking of his feelings and his emotions before he knew that Israel was safe. And we see from his language the sheer terror, the helplessness that he was feeling. He uses four different pictures, all from nature, to depict the danger that they faced. Look back at verse 1 again with me and we'll see the first. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when the people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. The first image that David paints is one of being swallowed alive, gobbling up by some savage beast big enough to devour you whole. I don't know if any of you have seen the film Shrek, where at the end, where Lord Farquaad, the film's baddie, is swallowed whole by the dragon. The dragon's jaws just encompass him, and in one swift move, he's gone. Now we can watch that scene and laugh. But there's no comedy here in David's description. It's not a cartoon-friendly children's death. It's a quick, blink-of-the-eye destruction. There's nothing you can do to defend yourself. You're totally outpowered by this savage beast. It's a terrifying end. You begin to sense what David was up against. The second image that David uses is in verse 4. And I think it's probably the one that we can all relate to the best. Look at it. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Floods and torrents aren't unfamiliar to those of us who were around Sheffield back in June, are they? If we were caught up in them being airlifted to safety, then we know what the floods can do. If we watched the images of cars floating down Brightside Lane and traffic lights being knocked over, bridges and walls destroyed, part of the city ruined by the force of the floodwaters. Rushing water is terrifying and powerful, isn't it? Do you remember, I'm sure that I'm not the only person that this happened to, but maybe I am. Do you remember when you were a child playing in the sea at the beach and you'd get swamped by a wave? Now it was only a one footer, it wasn't very big, but for you at the time it was massive. And there you are with that feeling of being in the washing machine, tumbling around, looking for the air, not knowing which way is up. It's sheer panic, isn't it? And then your mum and dad reach in and grab you out. The relief. That feeling of drowning, that helplessness, that being overpowered by raging waters, that's simply being washed away. The gasping for air, feeling your lungs burning, the tightening up. It's a terrifying experience, isn't it? And that's what David wants you and me to understand. That's what he was saying he was feeling. Do you sense his terror? It's really important we get to grips with what he was feeling. Can you understand his fear? Well, if not, David goes on to use two more images. Verse 6, bless be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. The imagery here moves on from being swallowed up alive in verse 3 to being slowly torn apart by sharp teeth. This is the picture that we've all seen on nature programs, isn't it? The grazing gazelle stalked and chased by lions. It eventually is caught. It doesn't take long, does it, for the other lions to join in to devour the gazelle, shredding it limb from limb, stripping it of all its meat and leaving what's left for the vultures. If you're anything like me, you'll only half watch it because it's a minging scene. You watch it through your fingers. It's a total massacre, isn't it? Again, the gazelle, well, he has no chance. And again, that's what David says he was up against. Sheer terror. And then the final image that David uses in verse 7, that we've escaped like a bird from the snare of fowlers. Here David is depicting being trapped. There's no way out. The more you struggle, the more stuck you get. You're quite literally a sitting duck waiting for the hunter to come and do his will. These are the images that David is using to help you and me understand what a predicament he and Israel found themselves in. And I guess it begs the question, what on earth? What on earth could be so bad that David describes his terror this graphically? What is it that's causing this terror? We'll keep a finger in Psalm 124 and turn back with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. It's on page 310. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Page 310. Most people agree that this is the exact situation that David is talking about back in Psalm 124. Look at verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Here we have the Philistines lining themselves up before Israel. And that description is lining themselves up before Israel in battle. They're going to remember that this is the David who defeated their mighty Goliath. And so they're not going to go up against Israel in a half-hearted way. Do you notice in verse 17 that it's all the Philistines who are searching for David? As they line up across the valley, they are getting ready for a full-on siege. And it's a full-on siege, not just to conquer, but actually to wipe Israel off the map. And this is precisely the situation that is terrifying David. He's feeling helpless, trapped, drowning in terror as this mighty army lines up to attack him and his people. I wonder, can you perhaps feel and understand from David's description the extent of the danger, the abject terror that David was feeling as king of Israel? I know warfare like this is a bit strange to us, but can you quite grasp how he must have been feeling? He was facing an army that Psalm 124 in this description tells us that he simply knew he couldn't defeat. That's why he's so terrified. Israel was like a bird trapped in a snare waiting for the hunter to come and do its will. Sheer terror. But as we go back to the psalm, it isn't a song of lament, is it? Do keep a finger in 2 Samuel, we'll be going back there. It isn't a song of lament, is it? No, it's not a song depicting a whitewash. No, actually, it becomes a song of rejoicing and of great praise and of happiness. This isn't a retrospective if only or what if psalm. This is a retrospective it's just as well that psalm. You see, helpless and terrified as they were, Israel had a rescuer. And that leads me to my second point, the person of the rescue. As I say, keep a finger in 2 Samuel, come back to the psalm with me. And as we glance through it, it doesn't take long to see that the trapped and helpless as they were, Israel were not devoured, they weren't drowned. No, instead it's the Lord who stepped in to rescue his people. Look at verse 1 again, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Let Israel say now, let's say again. Feel the emotion. Feel the joy this time. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then well, we'd have been destroyed. But look at verse 6. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped. The snare is broken and we've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's a psalm of great joy. You see, David recognises the peril of the situation, like someone who needs someone else's blood to survive. So David knew he needed help from an outside source. There was nothing on their own that he or Israel could have done in order to have been wiped off the globe. And so back in 2 Samuel, David turns to that outside source. And he turns to God in prayer. Look at verse 19 of 2 Samuel. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And at the end of verse 19, well, the Lord says a resounding yes. David is shouting aloud in this psalm that Israel has been rescued from the jaws of defeat by God himself. This is the God who, verse 8 of the psalm tells us, made heaven and earth, the one true creator God. And this is the God who is trustworthy and faithful and reliable and true to his word. That's what David means in verse 8 as he writes, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." You see, when you read that word Lord in small capital letters as it is here in verse 8, then it means that it's referring to the name that God gave himself back in the book of Exodus. Back when he met Moses and gave Israel the law. God promised afresh to Israel that they were his people, that one day they would become a great nation dwelling under God's rule in a great land that is given to them by God. And the name he revealed, well, it's Yahweh. It means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. In other words, I don't change. You can rely on me. My word is faithful and true. David is reminding his reader and rejoicing with them that the Lord God, who promised that they are his people, who promised his people great things, has once again been true to his word. The Lord God truly is on the side of his people. That's what David's saying here. He has made firm promises to them. He's not going to allow them to be wiped off the face of the earth. Israel's rescuer is God himself. But what does all of this mean for us? Is it just an exciting emotional story of warfare from the past with a happy ending? Is it a story far, so far removed from our own situation that we've just wasted 20 minutes reading and talking about it? I hope it's not been 20 minutes, sorry if it has. Is it just a piece of poetry to be marvelled at and admired? Well, no, I don't think it is. You see, the Bible isn't just a nice literary device with some heartwarming message. No, the Bible from start to finish has one big story. And I think that this psalm is a local physical account of a global spiritual reality. That it talks directly into the life of the worldwide church. That it talks into the life of us here at Christ Church Central. And that it talks into the life of each one of us as individuals. You see, as we read through our Bibles, we find that the church is God's new Israel, God's people. The promises made to Abraham and to Moses right back at the beginning of the life of Israel are promises that you and I can trust in too. That God is building a people, his church, to enter a land, his kingdom, to live under his rule, his word. And with that in mind, then we too can sing this psalm. Knowing that the promise-keeping Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth, is still, even now, all about building and preserving his people. And the way he's doing that is all about rescue. It's all about rescue. God is as much the rescuer now, today, as he was back then. You see, we may not be able to relate to battle lines in Old Testament warfare. But I want to suggest to you that if you are a Christian here today, then you and I have already faced and do face a battle that actually should bring to mind any one of those metaphors of terror that David uses in this psalm. A battle that should send cold sweats running down our neck. A battle that none of us could stand a chance of winning on our own. Turn on with me to Romans chapter 7. We're going forward this time. It's on page 1137. Romans chapter 7. And we'll see here the battle that each of us faces through the eyes of the Apostle Paul. He's the guy writing this letter. Look at verse 21. I find it to be the law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my inner members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, the big picture, the real battle that the Bible talks about is the battle that each one of us, Christian or not, faces over sin and its consequences. Do you see that in what Paul is saying in verse 23? He's saying, in my inner being, inside me, I have this overwhelming burden to ignore God's way, his rule, and go my own way. That's what sin is, rejecting God's rule and chasing our own rule. Do you see the language that Paul is using here? It's battle language, isn't it? Verse 23 talks of waging war, of being made captive. This is Psalm 124 language. There's a very real war going on. A spiritual battle, yes, but without ever playing it, it's no less dangerous than the Philistine army lining up against us. And if we're honest, each of us know it to be true, don't we? We don't like anybody telling us what to do. We like to be the boss. We want to be the God of our own lives. Well, we are like birds in a fowler's snare, ensnared in our rebellion. And look how Paul describes the consequences in verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I wonder, does that send cold shivers down your back? Can you feel Psalm 124 terror? We all ought to. Who will deliver me? Who will deliver you from this body of death? Each one of us, as a sinful human, faces the consequences of our sin, death and eternal separation from the Maker of heaven and earth. One day, God in judgment will remove all the blessings, all the good things we share in the world, and we'll be left in a very real hell. And you see, it's death, because life outside of God and His goodness, well, that's no life at all. In fact, understood properly, it's a Psalm 124 terrifying prospect. But you see, it needn't be that way. I remember Psalm 124 was a psalm of great rejoicing. Remember, God is still as much the rescuer now as He was then, and He's building and preserving His church. Look again at verse 24 in Romans. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Go on. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then look down to the beginning of chapter 8, just down a few lines. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, God is still on the side of His people. He doesn't leave us ensnared to sin. No, He's come to rescue His people in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to die in our place, taking the punishment and making us right with God. One of God's people, no longer condemned to death. If you're a Christian here today, then no doubt you've heard this before. You may have heard it 100,000 times before. But it's no less exciting, is it? The terror to the rejoicing. If you're a Christian here today, then Psalm 124 is a song that, when in retrospect, when we look back to the day we became Christians, we can join in with this psalm. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Christ Church Central now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, well then, we'd have been swallowed alive. But blessed be the Lord who's not given us prey to Satan's teeth. The snare is broken. We've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The promises He's made and His faithful character, the Lord who made heaven and earth, we've escaped. But if you're not a Christian here today, well, what these passages indicate is that actually, whether you recognise it or not, these passages tell us you still face the terror, that sheer terror of drowning in your rebellion. This psalm isn't yet a psalm that you can sing. You still face the terror of that day when God will withdraw Himself. He will withdraw all of the many present blessings. And as we've said, that's not life, that's death. God won't take the side of those who oppose Him forever. Sure, He's made His rescue freely available. He's wanting to build His church, His people. But He's not going to force His rescue upon you. It requires of you just one thing. Just flick on with me two pages in Romans to page 1140 in chapter 10. And look at verse 13. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All that this rescue requires is to do exactly what David did as he faced the Philistines. It's to turn to the Lord Jesus in prayer and say, my Lord, I am helpless without you. I will be swallowed up alive on my end. I trust in your name, your promises to build and preserve your people. Will you help me to overcome my enemy? Can I call on your death? And just as God's answer to David was yes, so too Jesus' answer to you is everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is as much the rescuer now as He was back then. And none of us need be terrified. None of us need face that terror when we think about death. As instead through Jesus we're reconciled to God, we can look forward to reaching God's promised eternal paradise. Just one place, while we're still in Romans. Please come back with me to one more place, Romans chapter 8. It's actually only one page back, 1138, because we're looking at verse 31. And just listen to these amazing words. If God is for us, who can be against us? God's on our side. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And go on to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Helpless as we are, in Christ, that is, if we trust in God's rescue, we, like David, will conquer over a sure death. Doesn't that make you want to sing this psalm? But that's not all. You see, as I said in the beginning, this psalm was sung by God's people on their often perilous journey up to the temple, both as a reminder of the rescue that God had provided in the past, but also to remind and encourage each other that God was still on their side, at the side of his people in the present. You see, if you were here last week when Pete was talking about Psalm 123, then you'll remember that he mentioned the Israelites that saw their difficult pilgrimage to worship God at the temple as a visual reminder, a metaphor of the difficulty of living life as God's people in a world that was largely against them. And as such, this psalm has something to teach us as we live out the often difficult Christian life in a world where persecution, contempt and scorn are to be expected, where battle lines will be drawn up against us. The Lord continues to rescue his people. And do you notice that the psalm is all corporate? This psalm reminds us here at Christ Church Central, as a corporate church, as a body, that the Lord is on our side. Yes, as individuals, but also as a church. He's on our side right now. He's still preserving the people that he's built. We only need to look through history to see the many attempts to wipe out God's people. The many attempts to wipe out God's people in Britain, but also around the globe. The changes in law which ban the church or limit what can be preached. The oppression, the persecution of Christians the world over. Persecution of churches and their leaders. Yet the church worldwide continues to grow. We only need to look off these shores, or look in the direction of China, and see the many people who are coming to the Lord Jesus. The Lord is on our side. And more locally, here at Christ Church Central, as we come across difficulties and face battles, as we have in the past and no doubt we will in the future, as we face very real physical and spiritual opposition, as we face the genuine attempts of others trying to close us down as a church, as we struggle to find and afford buildings big enough to meet in, as in the future we face changes in the law that will make telling others about Jesus very, very difficult, well, in one sense, we need not despair. Humanly we might despair, but God is on the side of his people. As we can claim with this psalm, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And instead of despair, we must pray, as David did, that Yahweh will overcome the enemies of his church. And then, that his name, as his name indicates, he will continue to work out his promises to build his church. He's not going to let his people be wiped off the map. That's exciting. This is a psalm we must all never forget. And as we finish, it's a psalm that does call for a response. And that is, very briefly, my final point, the gratitude of the saved. You'll remember that as we began this afternoon, my aim was for us to feel some of the emotion, both the terror and the joy that David describes in this psalm. And I want to ask you, as I do ask myself, if you're a Christian here today, do you feel that joy? That overwhelming relief that God's rescue affords. You've been rescued from being swept away to your death. This isn't just something you can deal with in a head knowledge sort of way. We may not be very good at showing our emotions here, but truly understanding this psalm in our heads must lead to a heartfelt gratitude that calls out with joy, as David and all Israel do. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Blessed be the Lord who's not given us over to death, but rescued us for eternal life. I hope that you are excited by your rescue. I hope it makes your heart leap for joy. God is going on rescuing his people. Why don't we just take a moment to flip back to the psalm. Page 61. And why don't we just take it, read it through quietly on our own, taking the enormity of having the Maker in heaven on our side, the Maker of heaven and earth. Read it through. If you are a Christian, think through your rescue. Think through how God is rescuing you now. And if you're not a Christian, then maybe look through this and think about the possible terror, about what God is offering you.